Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
And in this podcast, we give expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. And while you're there, do yourself a favor and sign up for our free weekly newsletter so you can stay on top of all of our latest episodes, receive exclusive giveaways, and much more.
When you are ready to master new erotic skills and unleash more pleasure in your life, enroll in one of our erotic mastery courses. Our online multimedia courses cover everything from couples massage to foreplay mastery to erotic spanking, and you'll find them all at pleasuremechanics.com.
On today's episode, we are going to be talking about Tantra. Specifically, our take on Tantra. We receive a lot of emails from people who want to know if what we teach is considered Tantra, or if we offer any tantric courses. And the answer is a complicated one, so we thought we would take today's episode to break down what we think about Tantra and how what we do is simultaneously very Tantra and very much not Tantra. So here's the deal with Tantra. True Tantra is 2,000 to 5,000 years old. It's part of Hinduism that comes out of India. And it is a really complicated set of spiritual practices and beliefs that were practiced by thousands of different sects, that's sex with a T, in India historically. And yet, when we hear the word Tantra, most of us think about Neo-Tantra, a set of sexual spiritual practices that have been popular in the United States and Europe since the 1960s. And the two have very little in common. When you look at the historical research and the academic research about Tantra in India, very few of those people actually even practiced any sort of erotic ritual. But what happened in the 1960s as part of the counterculture movement is a bunch of Westerners went over to India and started noticing things like erotic carvings in temples and discovering evidence of a history of sexual spirituality. And these Western spiritual explorers brought back bits and pieces of this tradition, called it Tantra, and started a new practice. And that is what people think about when they think about Tantra. But that's not true historical Tantra. So we just want to be clear about that right from the beginning.
They're two totally different things with the same name. And that is one of the things that's a little bit problematic about Neo-Tantra.
So as we explore Tantra, we want to be very clear that there are some really amazingly talented, heartful Tantra teachers out there who have a lot of integrity and teach really amazing classes that they call Tantra. And if you've ever attended a Tantra class or even practiced Tantra and you're a listener to this podcast, we don't want to make you feel wrong for what you're doing. And the truth is, in a lot of areas, the only option if you want to explore a path of spiritual sexuality or even just go to a workshop to improve your relationship, Tantra really is some of the only options in a lot of areas of the country and the world. The name Tantra is used to describe this whole set of practices to improve sex in your relationship, but it's done by a lot of different teachers with varying levels of integrity, just like yoga. Some people teach yoga and are super amazing spiritual beings who live with a lot of integrity, and other people teach yoga as a workout and have very little to do with the spiritual side of yoga. So as we share our opinions about Tantra and what we've done with our teachings, just know that there's a lot of great teaching that calls itself Tantra, and there's a lot of really problematic stuff that calls itself Tantra, and it's up to you to explore how you feel about it.
Though, of course, as sex educators, we are extremely interested in erotic states and bliss and pleasure. There are many things that we speak about regularly every week here that have something in common with Neo-Tantra.
Well, and the truth is, our direct lineage as students of sexuality has some tantric lineage. the people we learned from, Charlotte and I met in California in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the people we learned a lot of our techniques from were part of the Neo Tantra movement. And erotic massage, which is one of our primary modalities that we teach and we like to integrate into foreplay, and we teach in the Foreplay Mastery course, is a major part of Neo Tantra. Margot Anand was one of the major Neo Tantra teachers here in the United States, and she and Joseph Kramer, who I had my first job out of college with, and Annie Sprinkle, who was one of my mentors out of college, all of these people are part of the Neo Tantra movement, and so we want to honor that lineage and what we learned from them. But we very much do not identify as tantrikas. We do not teach tantra. But before we get into why we do not identify as tantra teachers, let's first talk about some of the practices and goals of Neo Tantra that we do share.
Some of the goals of Neo Tantra are experiencing sexual ecstasy, profound intimacy, transcending ordinary realms of awareness, thinking about sex beyond just the physical, beyond the genitals, beyond just performance-based sex. We are down with all of that.
Yes.
A main goal of Neo Tantra is to teach the state of sexual ecstasy. Now, what does this mean? This means accessing high levels of pleasure, going beyond orgasm, experiencing bliss. Some people in this state feel connected to oneness, which then they associate with God in however they understand it. So it's really about accessing incredibly high levels of pleasure and an altered state of consciousness, which we love. We give you all the tools to access that in our Foreplay Mastery course. We call it this because it's an incredibly down-to-earth name, and it's what most people call getting into pleasure, getting to pleasure. So we give you the skills and the tools for how to get to profound levels of arousal and orgasm through using things like seduction, erotic massage, really knowing your anatomy, breath, movement, and really, really skilled touch techniques for your partner's entire body. We guide you through these practices so that you have everything you need to know to access profound states of ecstasy.
Right, you can use these techniques just to get more turned on, to have better sex on a Wednesday night, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And everything we teach you will show you how to get there so you can have more pleasurable sex every time. And then you have the opportunity to use these skills in a more deliberate, prolonged way to take one another into these heightened states of arousal. And in the Foreplay Mastery course, we have a guide on erotic massage for men and women. And that's really the technique to get into these altered states of consciousness, because during erotic massage, one person is giving, one person is receiving, and the recipient has nothing to do but relax and focus on pleasure and breathing and receiving. And this is the technique that most tantra teachers use to create this state of ecstasy, some version of the classic erotic massage. And we learned it from the man who really developed erotic massage as a modality in California in the 80s, Joseph Kramer. This was my first job out of college. I started training with him and went to his school and became his co-teacher and eventually taught graduate level classes with him. And that's actually how I met Charlotte, was during those courses. But erotic massage is this primary powerful technique to take one another on an erotic journey. And so in the Foreplay course, yes, you learn how to turn one another on in a very practical, down-to-earth way to have better sex every time you want, or just to have alternatives to intercourse and use your hands and mouth to please one another. But you also have a training in how to give one another these profound, incredible tantric experiences, if you want to call it that. We prefer the language of erotic journey, prolonged states of arousal, erotic massage. We try to use very basic language for these things, but the experience is anything but basic.
Right, it can be ecstatic, and that can be transformational if you want to go there.
And some people stumble on these ecstatic erotic experiences. Like, have you ever had an experience where the boundaries of time and space dissolve and you feel super united with your partner, and you go to this altered space and you feel at one with energy in the universe? Sometimes that just happens if the conditions are right. But you can also deliberately create the conditions for that to happen more frequently. And these are, again, some of the skills we teach you. If you learn how to breathe during sex, you're going to have a more expanded state of arousal. If you learn how to move your body, you're going to experience full body orgasms more easily. These techniques translate into experiences, and as you integrate our techniques into your sex life, you'll notice things are shifting. And we don't make it a fancy induction into some secret society of spiritual sexuality. We just teach you these things because we think they're powerful and fun and give you more pleasure and expand your sex life in a really positive way. And everyone can learn them. There's no secret handshake required.
So go forth and enjoy, people. And we talk a lot every week about bringing awareness and consciousness and intention and presence and marrying sex and spirit if that's something that works for you. We're really committed to the idea that people can experience these sorts of states and have this kind of sex without following any particular path. That this is accessible to everybody.
Right. I think it's awesome that Tantra, Neo Tantra, has created a whole system and there's teachers and workshops that couples can go to improve their sex life. Of course, we support that. But one of the things that happened to me when I was in California and I started going to Tantra workshops is immediately the practices are couched in these beliefs like, you are the goddess embodied, and I am the god embodied, and through our sacred union, we are exploring the divine together. And I felt something weird within myself, and then I looked around at other people, and I noticed how many people didn't really vibe with this idea of being a goddess or a god. How even just using that language, even if it was served in this open-ended invitation of make of this what you will, feels awkward to people. And what I then thought of is people who are practicing Christians or Jews or Buddhists or who are Muslim are not allowed to think of themselves as gods and goddesses. That directly conflicts with their religion. And it's worshiping false idols, which is a serious thing within many of these religions. And so I just thought about how many people these amazing practices wouldn't be available to simply because of the language. And I think it's very short-sighted how a lot of Tantra teachers say things like, you don't need to adopt any specific religion to use these practices, but don't take seriously people's religions and the spiritual guidelines that they're working with as Christians or as Jews. Does that make sense? If we want these practices for improving intimacy and deepening sexuality to be available to people, we need to strip them of any language that will conflict with people's spiritual beliefs. And I felt pretty strongly about that. And it was one of the things that kind of stopped me from going to a lot of Tantra classes because I didn't want to sit through something that conflicted with my own set of spiritual beliefs. And I didn't want to play along. I wanted something real and authentic, and I couldn't find that in Tantra because of the language they were using about the divine. So that's one thing. And what we understand from our audience is we have a huge diversity within our listeners, and we appreciate that. We have people who are very devout Christians. We have atheists. We have Muslim listeners. We have people from all around the world. And what we all have in common is our bodies and pleasure and love and relationships. And we really believe that we can all learn together how to experience more love and pleasure through our sexualities while staying true to our individual spiritual paths. And we take that really seriously and try to provide techniques and tools that you can use and have your own experience with and then have your own spiritual experience. You very well may experience transcendence and ecstasy while using our techniques, and we love that and encourage that, but you get to decide what it means.
Many of the techniques and philosophies that we do talk about week after week and that we share in our courses are intended to open you up to profound experiences. And there is overlap between what we are teaching and what some people who are teaching Neo-Tantra will share. And some of these include, as I was saying earlier, presence, awareness, but also we talk about the breath, we talk about devotion, using sound, using movement, sensual touch. These are very basic tools used in a lot of spiritual disciplines of sex. We believe that you can be loving and connected no matter what activity you're doing, even if that's kink. And that sexuality and cultivating sex can be a beautiful, positive part of our life where we can keep deepening in our presence and on our experience so that sex is an ever-evolving part of our life that affects and impacts all the rest of our life. And this idea that sex can be spiritual, can be holy, is natural and good for you, these are central to what we share constantly. And some might say this is partly a Neo-Tantra approach, but we just aren't interested in the language or the framing, though we love the ideas that we share. So we're very committed to talking in clear, down-to-earth language.
And one of the things that happened along our path, so Charlotte and I met in San Francisco and we lived there for a few years together where we were teaching sex workshops and developing our company as we were starting out. Little fact, we started our business 3 months into our relationship. And then
went on the road for 9 months, well, traveling around the country.
Point, is that eventually we realized that the San Francisco Bay Area is a bit of a sex culture bubble, and that the people we were serving in San Francisco were not representative of the rest of the population of the United States. And so we hit the road and we traveled around for 9 months, and then 5 months later on, literally driving coast to coast and up and down the coasts. We put over 300,000 miles on our car.
Love that car.
And we talked to people. We did workshops in small towns and in cities around the country, and ended up having conversations with random people at diners off the road. And we wanted to find out what people were really experiencing and really struggling with in their actual lives. And this experience really changed how we teach, because we are using the internet and online technology to bring our teachings and our strategies to the most people possible and to people who don't have access to sex workshops in their nearby towns. And to do this, we really wanted to serve our audience authentically. And one of the things we noticed is that language that came to us in San Francisco that we assumed was common parlance, like chakras. You would say that to a waitress in a diner in Boise, Idaho, and they would just look at you blankly. Like, what do you mean activate my chakras? This was not a language that people were familiar with or used or that was useful to them. And so we really translated everything we had learned in San Francisco into down-to-earth language that people could take and use right away and that would be useful to them. And so that's part of what our process was a translation from all of the teachings we gathered in San Francisco during our time there, and then how do we make that useful to as many people as possible. And it was also a personal thing, because the word chakra doesn't really resonate to me, but when I study anatomy and when I study how the human body is built for pleasure and how nerve signals travel from your nerve endings to your brain where they get interpreted as pleasure, that I can get down with. I like science. I like the ideas that come directly from how we are made as human beings and using that anatomy as a map for more pleasure. That I can understand and get behind and be fascinated with. Whereas these kind of esoteric ideas of gaze into your partner's left eye because that's the window to the soul, but oh, not the right eye, I kind of question that. I'm like, who decided that? When did that come into being? Who made that up? And why do we assume it's true? There's no science about that. Why don't we try looking in both eyes and see how we feel? Maybe that's a better experiment. So I'm a little bit of a skeptic in that way, and I just want to question all of these teachings and bring them into the modern day and encourage people to have their own experience based on experimentation and curiosity rather than accepting these ancient things as truth. Charlotte's a bit less of a skeptic, perhaps. How do you relate to...
Yeah, I do feel open to a lot more woo-woo stuff than Chris does. But I feel like what's important is to try things out and to see how they feel for you and find out what resonates for you and what works for you.
Can you talk about your experience? Because we're talking about Neo-Tantra, but Taoist sexuality is a close second when it comes to these ancient traditions that have been appropriated for modern purposes. And you talk a lot about your experience doing some of the Taoist female sexual cultivation exercises. Can you talk about how you explored that a little bit?
Yeah, I have more training in the Taoist path than the Tantra path, though we've studied both of them to an extent. But the Taoist path, some of the practices are just very complicated. They are clearly beautiful practices that make a big difference for people, but they're extremely complicated and they take really believing in the methodology. And you have to kind of take a leap of faith that they make sense and that they're correct and that they work. And they're very, very complicated. And I don't think that most people are going to spend time and effort doing those practices. I think modern people are more interested in something that you can explain and say, this is why this is valuable, this is why this works.
And that you can experience benefits from more immediately. Because I think as we looked at some of those Taoist practices, it may be very beneficial to send energy up your meridian and then circulate it in this part and then bounce it there. And, you know, they go through these very complicated paths of internal meditations of sexual energy. And that might be incredibly beneficial, but maybe you can get 80% of the benefit by just becoming aware of your arousal as it moves up your spine and you take a deep breath and notice what happens, right? And if we can get people to have a benefit from a much simpler practice that they'll be actually able to integrate into their life, that's where we're interested, is in getting people actually doing these things rather than reading a book, feeling it's too complicated and leaving it behind.
Right. So we're interested in simpler practices that are grounded in anatomy that you can implement easily, simply, and that have no religious or spiritual belief aside from what you infuse into them.
Yeah, and the male ejaculatory control is a good example of this. We offer a program in extending your arousal and separating out ejaculation from orgasms, so you can have male multiple orgasms and non-ejaculatory orgasms. And this is very much rooted in the Taoist principles of sexual energy. But we've simplified it. We've pulled out the core of what's useful and what works for guys, put it in really simple language. And then we say, if you want to go deeper into this and explore it, here's Montauk Chia's book on Taoist sexual practices, go for it. But our program will get you 80-90% of the results with a much simpler approach. So this is kind of how we've worked with these traditions of Neo-Tantra, Taoist sexuality, and we've drawn from everything we've learned, and we're constantly reading and digesting that for you, and then bringing it forward in strategies and approaches and techniques that are easy for you to implement right away. So that's been our major approach.
I will say, I feel like there's this other element of, because sex has been seen as so shameful and bad in culture, that sometimes I feel like people have to really overwork to see it as holy and good. And so there's a real need to have validation of sex as a spiritual practice.
Instead of shifting the attitudes, you mean? What do you mean by overwork? Like putting on the saris and the bindis and lighting incense and doing all these things that kind of create this spiritual environment?
That allow you to really feel as though sex is spiritual, sacred, good, okay, not bad. And I feel like you can also choose to feel that way and work on those things without the costuming and the need for quote unquote a tantra teacher to tell you that.
Yeah, although we're telling people that. But I know what you mean. I think, and this is another thing I came across in all the tantra workshops I'd go to, is there was all this spectacle of it and the incense and the costumes, and people really got into it, but they weren't actually doing the deep work of clearing shame and guilt out of their day-to-day lives.
Right, there's an element of layering these other things on top without actually dealing with the deep things underneath. Right.
And so we address that idea that pleasure is sacred and that sex can be positive and good for you and profound intimacy is possible by offering strategies to integrate into your day-to-day life, your relationship to pleasure and to your body, rather than putting on a big show about it.
And of course, there are many Tantra teachers who are not doing it in that way and who are teaching beautiful things.
The other thing to consider around all the costuming that Tantra invites is cultural appropriation. Cultural appropriation is when you borrow or steal elements from someone else's culture, particularly an oppressed culture, and recontextualize them to your own benefit while stripping them away of their original cultural meaning. So wearing Native American headdresses at sporting events, for example, or wearing bindis to get in the mood for spiritual sex.
This is if you're white, if you're not of that culture, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you're taking from someone else's culture. And this is considered part of our racist culture, part of neocolonialism, and it's time that we stop doing this because it's very harmful. The bindi and the sari, which are those beautiful flowing dresses that Indian women wear, have very specific cultural meanings within Indian culture. And to take a bindi and put it on just to feel pretty and spiritual and sparkly is problematic. It's taking something that has deep spiritual and cultural meaning and stripping it of all of that meaning and using it for your own purposes. And a lot of people consider this, and us included, to be something that we don't want to do.
Right, because of its racist implications.
Right. India was a colony of England for a long time and suffered a lot of damage because of that colonization. And we are continuing to play a part in that when we just mindlessly grab things from that culture because they're fun and exotic to us without any understanding of the culture they come from. And you see this a lot in Tantra. And Tantra, of course, is not the only place this happens. It happens all the time in our culture, and we're just beginning to talk about it as an issue. But this is something you'll encounter a lot within tantric circles, and we believe that you can actually have a deeper spiritual experience by using your own culture and being authentic to who you are rather than borrowing willy-nilly from other people's cultures. Right?
Right. So this is where we believe that you can practice using movement, using breath, accessing the divine just through our bodies. We don't need any other philosophy or costuming on top of that. We as naked human bodies of whatever race and culture and religion are enough. That's all we need. We just need our bodies and each other, and we can fly high with that.
And if you want to use costuming, use stuff that's native, to your own culture. So you can dress up in lingerie, you can use beautiful candles and flowers and things that are part of your world anyway. You don't need to exoticize this practice by bringing in Asian and Indian costumes and influences if that's not a culture you are familiar with or part of. So that's the other place we deviate from neo-tantra traditions. Another big one is in the use of gender binaries and polarity as a main teaching tool. So you come across this right away when you encounter tantra. One of the fundamental teachings is that there is the yin and the yang, the male and the female, the passive and the active. And that this kind of polarity allows you to access energy and creates union and blah, blah, blah. I fundamentally disagree with this. I do not see the world in terms of binaries or polarity. It just doesn't work with my worldview. And instead, we talk about having a huge range of erotic energies and archetypes from which we can all draw. So rather than just saying the male is the active and the female is the passive, We say, explore what erotic energies turn you on. Does one of you want to be the dominant partner and one wants to be submissive just for that night, and then you can switch and see how that works for you? Does one of you want to be super romantic and flirtatious and the other wants to be coy and shy? Does that turn you on? We think there's a huge spectrum of erotic energies, and we don't need to simplify it by going to this binary polarity idea, which is really tired in my mind and just doesn't fit the human sexual experience as I see it.
As with everything, there are so many opinions, there's so many ways of doing things. I think that we would all agree, us and the Tantra teachers, that there is a lot of overlap in what we do and a lot of basic tenets that we would all agree on. And you, listener, have to find what works best for you. And we are blessed to live in this time and culture where there are a plethora of opinions and paths you can follow. And we are carving out what we most believe in that has all the different elements that we feel right with. And you get to do the same. And that is a really blessed thing in this time. So we feel like spirituality and sexuality are deeply linked, or can be deeply linked, if that is a path that you want to take. And that awareness and devotion and joy and ecstasy and transcendental states are very possible to create using the tools that we share and talk about week after week. Attention and presence is really the most essential quality, I believe. We feel like we're really sharing ways to access a soulful, heartful, devoted kind of sexuality that to us is deeply spiritual and is also very open-minded and can be accessed by all, no matter what you believe. And that is central to our core values, though we don't really talk about it. It's kind of just ingrained in how we teach and what we talk about. We hope that you keep finding what works for you as you explore your sexuality and how that intersects with however you interact with spirit.
Right, and maybe we'll talk about this more on future podcasts. But we are really of the mind that the spirituality, the holiness of your sexuality has to do with how you relate to your body and your partners and the pleasure you are sharing. And it has a lot less to do with the specific acts or creating elaborate rituals around certain periods of lovemaking. Ritualizing sex, of course, can allow you to go deeper and can be a tool to carve out time to explore with your partner, but it's not where the spirituality lies. That's in your everyday actions and in the integrity between what you value and what you do. So I guess we do need to talk more about spirituality and sexuality in a future episode, and we'll be sure to do that. But for now, really explore for yourself. What does that mean to think about sexuality as part of your spirituality? What does that look like for you in your life? And what could you do to deepen in that? Because that's a lot of what Neo-Tantra teaches, is bringing more intentionality to your spiritual sexual side, which we all have, however we choose to name it. And if you want to hear more about my feelings about the gender binary and the damage it does to our sexuality, tune into episode 44, which you'll find at pleasuremechanics.com in the podcast archive, which you can access by hitting podcast at the top of any page. The episode is called Shattering the Greatest Sex Myth of All Time, and we dive deep into how the gender binary and this idea of polarity has really screwed us all when it comes to sexual pleasure and expression. And it's something I feel really passionate about, and it's not erasing the idea of men and women. It's about freeing us all to have a fuller range of sexual expression and shattering this idea of binaries and polarities when it comes to sexual energy. So that's a little bit about our take on Tantra and why we don't call ourselves Tantra teachers, even though we teach a lot of the same techniques and practices that are found in Tantra.
And Taoism.
And Taoism and other sexual traditions. And ultimately, I believe that when we look back in history, it is not a kind history when it comes to sexuality. And we don't need to glamorize the past and dig out these antique practices and traditions to find a path towards sexual pleasure. I think what we need to do is look to the future and what kind of sexual culture we want to create together for the future of humanity. And we can create new lineages and new traditions rather than look to our past. So we can learn from our past, but I think it's time that we redevelop a sense of sex culture, because there is really very little in our history to draw from that's friendly for us all. And we'll talk more about that in a future episode. I'm reading an amazing book right now called Sex and Punishment, 4,000 Years of
Judging Desire.
4,000 Years of Judging Desire. And it is so amazing and so intense to really think about what our sexual history has given us as a legacy, and just reinforces this idea that I've always had that we need to reinvent sex culture. And so us not using the language of Tantra and not looking towards the past for answers, but looking into our bodies, into our experiences, and ultimately into the future of sex culture that we want to create together is part of that. It's part of our political mission to create a healthier, happier, more pleasurable sex culture for us all. And if you want to join us on that mission, please come over to pleasuremechanics.com and join our newsletter so you can be part of our community and stay in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us anytime at pleasuremechanics.com. And if you're ready to explore the practices we've been talking about on this episode and the techniques we use to create states of sexual ecstasy and connection in the body, check out our online courses where we share our best techniques with you so you can learn at home at your own pace. And you'll find those all at pleasuremechanics.com. And as a valued member of this community, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off and you will be on your way to more sexual ecstasy.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.